You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. So first, Lou brutally chops up my call, and then we're all subjected to hearing what can only be described as a private phone conversation that you two try to pass off as a show of the two of you discussing Petey's vacation itinerary. And I saw that pic, Petey, that you posted of those wings on social media. Those things are fucking enormous. The worst present ever, kid. Those things weren't a gift. They were a goddamn hindrance. Let's get back on track this week, huh? Later.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie screen. Said, don't mind.
Well,
do you
Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back. I'm sorry. I thought we had a fantastic show last week. Flip-flop talk and pool talk. So I did too. I thought it was
really, really well done, and I have to take a beat here and recognize the music.
Why do you want to recognize the music?
Well, it's Billie Jean, number one, acoustically sang by the late Chris Cornell.
All right. I was just making sure that you knew that we're playing this because the late, great Chris Cornell passed on, and not because it's a cover of Michael Jackson. This guy was great. Dude, did you play in his theater the day after he passed away?
Not the day after that. So two nights after I played there.
Were you the next show in the theater?
I believe I was.
Holy shit. Did you acknowledge it?
I did. At the end, I just said, rest in peace, Chris Cornell, and left the stage. I didn't want to, you know, it was a comedy show. I didn't want to bring a damper on it. I just kind of said it on my way out.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice, man.
I was excited to play that theater all year, because if those of you haven't been to the Fox Theater in Detroit, Michigan, it is something. I mean, it is an unbelievable. It's like a cathedral. It's about 90 years old. It seats 4,800 people, and just beautiful, just gorgeous theater. I went all up and down, side to side, took pictures everywhere I could. The only place I wanted to take picture that I didn't was on the top in the ceiling. They got a chandelier hanging from the ceiling, and I guess you could go all the way up to the chandelier, kind of lay down, and then take a shot if someone was on a ladder, and then you would get the entire theater beneath you. And I didn't get to do that just because of time constraints.
Wow.
But yeah, that was great theater, great crowd in Detroit. And we didn't mention it last cast, but rest in peace to this Chris Cornell.
It's Cornell, not Cornelli. I know you want him to be Italian.
I, me and music, of course, I hear the song, and then I go, oh, yeah, he sung that. So yeah. I don't know too much about, you know, his entire career. Although it, you know, with all this death, it spawned me into a Netflix series. It's a seven episode docuseries on people who died young: Kurt Cobain, Heath Ledger, and I was just on a death run this entire weekend, just consuming death shows.
Oh man!
And it seems to be the common denominator in all of these deaths is some type of drug or alcoholism. More drugs than anything else, though.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you bring up death, because the guy who I did my pilot with for CBS, rest in peace, he died 2 days ago of natural causes, man.
Who?
His name is Marsh McCall. He was an incredible writer, sweetest guy I ever met in Hollywood. just a phenomenally awesome guy, and we pitched and sold that CBS show together. And I got a freaking email yesterday. It's just unbelievable. It's all around us, man. Chris Cornell, too, by the way. I'm a huge fan. Great music, great stuff. But with all this death talk, I don't know. We're supposed to turn around and go, it's a sunny 75 outside. Should be a great Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget for the top 500 countdown. Will Stairway to Heaven keep that lead? Or will Hotel California take it back like a few years ago? Happy Memorial Day early, folks. Going to be a good one. And let's kick back now and listen to a little Smash Mouth to get you started on that drive home. Is that the fucking show you want, Jimmy? I never want to hear the messages to start the show again. I love the guy to death, but I mean, I thought that was a great show last week.
Let's get back on track this week, huh?
First of all, right out of the gate, I mean, listen, I'm a humble guy. I'm not going to give myself a rating from 1 to 10 on the scale of looks, but I will say this. With a tan, whatever I was before, I go to a 9, guy.
It's an automatic 9.
I mean, for an Italian man with a tan, it's like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? It's really hard not to be tan all the time. It makes us look fantastic.
I know. It's. I think a tan on an Italian takes an entirely different route than any other culture, right? I mean, like, no offense, Lou, but if you get tan, it's more like a reddish shoe I'm taking, right? Like a red.
I don't go out in the sun.
Okay, so you know, if he did, you know, like if Lou did go out in the sun, what would happen?
I would burn to a crisp, and I would have to go like lay down and not go out for a couple of days. It would be a medical problem.
But it would never turn like a light chicken skin, like a light. Yeah, you know, like a light bronze. You never get that? No. It'll never go there?
No, I got Irish skin. I don't go to the beach. I cover up. I haven't been to the beach in like 4 years.
Man, I am so lucky my Irish side got buried by the Italian gene.
Oh, aren't you, man? But I'm saying, Lou, let's say if you did start going out, maybe establishing a base, do you think your skin would respond to, like, you know, Pete said, maybe like a... like a chicken skin, or maybe a light, I don't know, a pink. What is it?
Nothing. Yeah. I'm so pale that it just doesn't work. I don't have an olive skin. I don't have a base.
Is the dissolve from you like if I smacked a baby's ass? That's you sunburnt, and then the slow dissolve just back to white, never tan.
Never, ever. Some people, you guys are lucky. Yeah, I don't get that option.
Italians, we look healthy with the tan. I feel like when we get to heaven, God's going to say, yeah, I wanted you guys to be tan. Yes. I mean, it's
so outstanding. It what it does to an Italian, like I said, is exponential to any other culture. You come home with a tan and you're Italian, especially now that we discovered Pete has Syrian blood. That's a whole other deal. I mean,
that'll get you kicked out of the country. With Trump on watch. Let's keep that on a QT, all right?
Do you use an SPF or do you just go straight oil?
I mean, oil. That's, first of all, we don't even need to do oil. But what I do now, like Mexico was hard sun, you know? So I do the spray. And I was doing 30, and then I got to be honest, I went up to 50 with the spray. But the deal is this. It's like, I get to the beach. I hang out for a little bit. I don't spray until about 30, 35 minutes after hanging, you know?
Oh, and you don't even come out with the spray.
No, I don't even come out with it. I hit it when I get there, and then I don't do the rubbing, and then I don't do it again. And, you know, Sadie and Jackie, they got to be careful. They got to do, like you said, the bait. Well, Sadie, we don't do anything. We're rubbing her down constantly. But Jackie, little base, and then come out slow. But me, it's just like, pow, just black, dark, teeth pop, get that salt water flowing through my hair, and then rinse it out. I'm telling you, if I lived on a beach every day of my life, I could be a guest model, bro.
Oh yeah. God. It's you could really tell though after you shower and then you're just literally beaming in the mirror.
oh, when you go to the beach all day, especially, you know, I like to have the little 5 o'clock shadow. That's good for me too. When you're in that salt and you know that sun is hitting you, and then when you're in the shower, aren't you almost excited for the reveal?
Oh God, it is an amazing reveal.
And especially if you're going out with other people, you're on vacation, but you're like, when I come down the stairs, heads are gonna pop.
Oh God, yeah, there's nothing like an Italian tan.
Nothing like it. I mean, obviously, folks, I'm exaggerating my ass off, but I'm just saying, are there any, like, let's say you were trying to absolutely look the most perfect you can look for one, let's say, 1 hour meeting of some sort, whatever it may be, and you don't care about whether they know you're tan or not. You could say, yeah, sorry, I just got back from a vacation. None of that matters. You're just strictly doing what all the stuff you have to do to make yourself look the best you can look for 1 hour. Do you even know, like, are you going clean shaven or do you like a little gruff? And do you know what day is the last day to shave? Like, how many days it should grow? Like, how long before you should get your hair cut? Like, are you on all of that stuff?
Are you saying if I had the chance to look good for 1 hour, would it be one or the other? Or would you say that, are you saying that how long it takes to get like a 3 or 4 day growth that it looks phenomenal?
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying as an example, like, let's say in 2 weeks, I was meeting a guy for 1 hour. All right. Yeah. Let's say in a month.
Yeah.
I would get my hair cut 2 weeks out because a nice 2 week growing is perfect. Mm-hmm. So all these little nuances I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know it. I know it from the haircut to the I even know it. Let's say if I went to get a tan, how long it takes for the tan to kind of wear off to make it look like it's natural. Like, let's say you did a spray tan, and the meeting's Friday. You do a spray tan maybe Tuesday late night, about 8 o'clock. You sleep on it. You don't shower. You sleep on the tan. Get up the next morning, obviously wash it off. By Friday, you look like you spent 2 days in Miami.
All right. Well, I see. I love the formula and how you know to wash off and when. This is all what I'm talking about. It's making me laugh. But I have to say, wouldn't you agree, if we're talking about the best hour of your life, I mean, maybe it's you and Clooney doing a double shoot together, sipping cappuccinos, I don't know what, but do you ever feel you need to go authentic suntan? Like, I got to lay in sun by a pool or by a beach. I can't even do spray. I got to risk the cancer and go to real thing.
No, yeah, absolutely. You have to go real at any time you can possibly go real. I mean, to be honest with you, today I was just kind of outside. You ever just do an activity outside just to get a tan? I was just outside, like, rolling up the hose. Didn't really need to been rolled up, but, like, let me get a little tan. Took the shirt off, rolled up the hose. Just, I watered the grass, you know, just a couple spots just to get some rays.
Oh, yeah, more for you than for the grass.
Yeah.
You ever do a, I've done this, I do this occasionally in the driveway. I'll do a full stop in the driveway and a look up sun dedication for about a minute and a half. Just let it blast my face for a minute and a half.
Oh, no, I haven't tried that. Wait, just a full look up, head back, eyes closed?
Yeah, when you know you got a particularly good angle and a strong sun, you got a minute and a half to kill. Why not get a quick blast?
No one's looking. Yeah. Why not? You know what's painful, though, now that you're back from Mexico? Each day you get up, the tan starts to fade.
I know. It's so sad, man. It's never so as good sad as when you pull it out.
Yeah. And there's a day that happens. I don't know when it happens. You look in the mirror, you're like, it's gone. It's gone. It just completely left your body.
Yeah. And you look like, you look sick. Then you look sick. Disgusting. I know, man. That's why, you know. But on the flip side, you can't do the George Hamilton thing and just do it all the time. It's ridiculous.
No, every once in a while.
By the way, bro, coming back on the plane, and you notice with beach vacations, do people literally climb out of the fucking pool and go to the plane? I mean, can we get dressed?
Nope. That's a move that's been going on for about the last 30 years. It's just literally right from the raft right to seat 3A.
I mean, I literally think some shorts were still wet. I'm just two people get on behind us. You know, undesirable big white tee couple, you know what I'm saying? And the guy's coming down, flip-flops, tank top, styrofoam, closed styrofoam plates. I'm saying to Jackie, Jackie yelled at me on the plane. She's like, stop fucking yelling at me about everybody. I'm like, why? I'm yelling to you. I'm not yelling to them. And they're coming down, and I go to Jackie, hot food. They had to go through customs. They obviously didn't rush. They had time. They could have ate that shit. They save it to eat it on the plane. And the guy sits down behind me, him and his wife, with baked shrimp and shit. And his T-shirt says, yes, I'm that guy.
And he knows it.
What the hell's wrong with you? Look like a Puerto Rican whore. Make me sick. Jesus Christ. Be a man.
He knows. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it.
You know what I don't understand is sometimes at this security checkpoint that people take off their shoe and they have a bare foot and then they go on their tippy toes. Like they don't want to touch the floor with their feet. So they're just going to go on their tippy toes to make sure that like their heel doesn't touch the floor. And I'm sitting there looking, I go, your toes are still touching the floor. What does it make a difference? Yeah. Half of the foot or the full foot?
And you know you're not going to stay on those toes. You know you're coming down. You're coming down. So, bro, how are you going to handle this? This is something that happened on the vacation. So, Sadie, there's a boy at the slides. His name is Mikey. And they start playing together, right? They're having a good time for a day and a half. And that kid's mom and dad, pretty cool. They just say hi, and that was it, right? Mm-hmm. So then the next night, we're at this place having dinner outside, and there's these people dancing, singers and stuff. And Mikey's there with his family. So Sadie brings him out on the dance floor, and the two of them are dancing. It's a vacation family thing, so all the families are watching. It's cute. Now, that night, Sadie goes to bed, and in the middle of the night, she's laying in bed, and she starts yelling and stuff in her sleep, and I get up to move her. I want to fall off the bed. And she's sitting up in his sleep. She goes, Mikey, Mikey. And I'm like, all right, she likes this Mikey guy. So then I put her back down to sleep. Now, just setting all that up. So now the next morning, we get a text. Oh, because I took a picture of them out on the dance floor, and I told the guy, you want it? And he's like, I'll text it to you. So now he has my number. So the next day, he texts us to say what pool that they're at. So I say to Jackie, and I use Jackie's phone, so it's on Jackie's phone. So she's like, I'm going to text back. I go, don't even. We still have 3 days to go. What the? Just leave your phone here. And if we run into them, we didn't get it. Mm-hmm. So she goes, no. In a little while, I'll text. So in a little while, she texts saying we're at the pool, at the slides. So they come over with Mikey, and then those two go play, and then right away there's a Chase Lounge next to Jackie, and he's like, you mind if we sit here? And boom, they sit down. So what do you do? Where are you guys from? Oh, here we go, bro. So I'm not even kidding. Within about half hour, Jackie gets up to go pretend she's looking on the kids, and then I go to talk to her. And then I see them talking behind us, the other couple. And I think the wife was saying to him, they don't want to do this. And I don't think the wife wanted to do it either. She was kind of saying to him, why are you doing all this shit, you know? So we pushed that shit aside, didn't do anything with them. And there was another couple becoming our friend. And then, Sadie's playing with another boy. And then that father comes up to us one day and goes, I'm going to have them play for a little while. His wife's name is Kate. Kate just got a phone call. Her brother got shot, so we're dealing with that. It's like, dude, why are you telling me this?
Wow. On the vacation?
on the vacation, man. Shut that down. So the next couple of days we would see them and they were like thinking we're kind of dicky because we didn't want to hang out with them. But like,
yeah,
I am not. I mean, what? I don't even understand who goes on vacation, what guy, and pulls up at Chase Lounge next to another man that they don't know. And you want to hang out with me? You want to hang out with me? What the?
I don't get it, man. Why?
What are we going to do? You want to get a drink together? Bob? Am I a dick? I mean, I don't get it.
No, I mean, you're not a dick, but has there ever been an occasion where you were on vacation and, I don't know, you're in the pool and you just say, hey, where you guys from? This kind of organically happens and you end up hanging out with the couple for the day. Is that bad? I mean, is it okay to talk to another couple while on vacation, while hanging in the pool? Or are you just upset he came and found you guys and pulled up and acted like he was a part of the family?
I mean, listen, if we show up at the if we end up at the same pools and you see me and you give a wave, was his name Richard? Yeah. And he goes, hey, Pete, hey, Richard, I'd be great. Fine. And our kids play fine. All right. But the minute you're bringing a chair around to sit next to me to spend time with me, I can't wrap my head around who considers that a vacation, to sit down in a bathing suit next to another man and stare at our kids in a pool and talk. And like, why are you putting me in an awkward position? I don't want to do that. Do you want to do that? And then even if I guess we could talk for like 2 minutes, like small talk, but then what? The rest of the trip, like I passed them in the lobby. I'm like, hey guys, I'm saying guys, like they're my neighbors.
It's like you have like an obligation now for the rest of the vacation to acknowledge them wherever they are. And let's say you go to dinner, right? You see them, they see you. What? Now you're obligated to sit at their table. You know, it's like, where does this end?
Exactly. You know, and that's at one point, me and Sadie are taking toys and we're going to build a sandcastle. And the mother of the other kid, before her, she got the news about a brother. She comes walking by and she goes, hi, Sadie. And then she waves to me. I'm like, hey. And she goes, Aaron's over there flying a kite. You know, I don't give a shit if the wind takes Aaron away. I just...
You can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight. With your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh, let's go fly a kite.
I don't know how you're not going to deal with that, bro.
I don't know.
No way. And especially if someone's a fan of your stand-up. If I was a fan of your stand-up, I mean, if I didn't know you, obviously I am. And I wanted to talk to you, I would tell my kid, go talk to his kid. I'm going to bop over. And then I got it from there. So,
yeah, it's
you got
it's
a magic
tough,
way of working with that. Let me know.
I'll let you know. I'm very good, though, at spotting those people out at the pool. Lana's not good at that at all. I've been in many occasions where we either walked into be at a pool area or a restaurant area, and there'd be people there that we don't want to talk to. And I scan the pool like it's almost like Superman. Like, hey, he's got like X-ray vision. Like, I scan the pool and it goes off like an alert sound. There they are. There they are. Stay away. You know, like Lana will walk right into them, not even know it. Oh, I have to every time grab Lana's hand and go, don't go that way. They're over there. We go the opposite way.
Yeah, but what are you going to do now when you're at a pool and you know that's a scenario, or you're someplace maybe watching a little outdoor concert, having a moment with your wife and kid on vacation, but now your kid starts running around with another kid, which is great because now you and Lana can actually have a moment while they play and it's great.
Yeah.
You're getting pulled in. What are you going to do? Tell your
kid? I know. You're getting pulled in. That's part of the deal, though. I mean... Yeah. Kids make friends. Now you start talking to the parents of the kid, and then you become miserable.
That's it, man.
So I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Take a walk.
We got invited to a birthday party at a restaurant, and the host who has invited us said there is the minimum charge is, I don't know what it was, $60 for the birthday party. It's like a birthday dinner they're having. $60 a head, just so you guys know. No, I'm up in arms.
How could you not be?
You're going to invite me to a restaurant, and then you're going to charge me per head?
Yeah. You're not inviting me. You're basically telling me if I want to eat where you are, this is where you're going to be. Because if you're inviting me, you're paying.
That's what I say. And that was the debate with my, I presented it to my friends and family, and everybody's in agreement that if it's a group of people that are going to go out, you know, let's say 3 or 4 or 5 people, I think after 5, it becomes a party. Five people, you know, for a birthday, you pay for the birthday girl or boy. But 15, 20 people at the party, and we're all pitching in. What is this, college?
Toga, 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 toga.
What is this, college?
Is this an adult birthday?
It's an adult birthday, adult birthday. I mean, if it's an economic thing, you can't afford it, fine. I totally, you know, but you maybe we go to a burger joint. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's like you can't have these high-end tastes if you can't swing it. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with downsizing the party to something that's a little bit more inexpensive so you could swing the bill. But if you're going to invite people to a restaurant and then expect them to, at the end of it, buck up? Hey, those days are over, man.
That, right? Did they ever exist? I mean, $60 a head. So your friend, whoever it is saying, please come celebrate my birthday with me. It's going to cost you and your wife a minimum of $120 to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you know how many concerts I'd rather see for that kind of bread?
Listen, man, I tell you, I was going to say, was I charging people for the bread, for the baby shower I had? With the onesies and everybody walking, I wasn't clicking people at the door for 50 ahead or whatever. Come on in. I'm having a party.
Yeah.
Now I got to go, hey, does that include alcohol? Like, what are we going to do now? Nickel and dime the thing? Does the 60 include alcohol? Oh, no, it doesn't. And it doesn't include gratuity and tax. Hey, what is it? Half the night on the bill? We're going to sit there? I'm sorry, man. And I don't know if we talked about this before, but I say this is, we had to on this show. 6-7 years ago, I took everybody out for Lana's dinner. I was making no money, right? Just bare minimum. Just average headliner pay. No bonus, no nothing. And we all went out for dinner. It was like 8 of us for Lana's birthday. At a nice place. Bill came and I picked it up. And the guy across, one of the guys was, you sure? You're sure, guy. Yeah,
I remember.
I'm sure. Yeah. So I picked it up. Yeah, it hit me in the pocket pretty tight. But hey, you know, you do things and sometimes, you know, you work harder to come back. It's just, it's not an economic thing. It's just a principle thing. That's what I'm saying.
It's all part of the world we're living in now. I want to party in a nice restaurant, so I'm just going to have one. Just going to have one. Fuck it. I want to eat baked shrimp on a plane going home with my fucking flip-flops, with my fucking shit shirt on. I'm just going to do it. Just going to do it.
I want it, I get it. Yeah, well, it don't work that way. And so I'm all upset over here.
No, you should be. What is this, too? I keep seeing when I'm in Mexico, these weddings, man. These people, oh, by the way, you know, else I saw that? I saw, you know how these people do that thing where they dig a round circle or a heart in the sand. They put a white table there with candles, and some couple's going to have a candlelight dinner out on the ocean alone.
Yeah.
Oh, they put a baby chair in there. They were going to have a candlelight dinner with their little infant. And I'm sorry. What are we doing? So now the waiter's got to... We do the pony ride on the vacation. They have the pony ride. It's for kids 2 to 5 or something like that, right? Hmm. So what do we got to do? We're in the hot sun waiting because some lady wants to put her kid, who's about 2 days older than your daughter, on the pony and hold it while the pony's got to walk around the hot sand for this kid that doesn't even know what's outside right now.
Oh, man.
All right. And so just all this... You know, and I wanted that. So anyway, I was going to say they're doing these weddings. We said a lot of weddings in Mexico. I don't get that either. It's like, we're going to get married. You want to drop $4,000 or whatever to come here and hang out for a wedding?
Well, I have to speak to this because I had a destination wedding myself.
America guy. You were in America, and quite frankly, you weren't that far from California, which is where you live. So that's not what I'm talking about. It's
far from California, far from L.A. It was in California.
I mean, yeah, not that far from where you were in California. That's what I meant.
So that I'm dealing with that. What else do I got?
I'm dealing with that. You got to spend $60 on dinner. You're going to sell out Madison Square Garden probably any day now, and you got to deal with that. Hang in there, guy.
Come on. This is big stuff going on, man. Shit. What else do I got on the slate here? I got what, 20. I got about 7 weeks off, can you believe?
Wow. Seven weeks
off. And it started in with my daughter, man. I tell you, I can't stop staring at her. Where Lana was with her for 5 days straight, so I felt like I kind of missed out on the child rearing. I gotta tell you, I gotta give it up to my wife. She told me something over the phone, or I think it was on a Skype while I was on the road, and you know, we're Skyping and she's showing me the baby. I said, I noticed this because I had back-to-back weekends with like 36 hours of LA time in between, and I'm sitting there looking at the baby and I'm looking at my wife over Skype. I go, listen, babe, I'm so sorry, you know, I'm not there. I feel so bad that, you know, it's been a lot of shows and you kind of been on your own. She looks at me and she goes, it's okay. And she's talking through talking to my daughter, but she's talking to me. She's like, that's okay, Serafina. Daddy's the hunter and gatherer. Oh, wow.
I can't.
Daddy's the hunter and gatherer.
Oh,
I felt prehistoric, man. I felt like that. I felt like I was going to come home with food on my back, you know? Just after a 2-week escapade in the Adirondacks.
Hey! By the way, Lou, what number show is this overall from the first time we ever did a show?
263.
263. I bring that up, bro, because, you know, early on, I did it in my Jeep Wrangler, and you know what I've been through with that. And I just closed the deal, and a couple of days from now, probably tomorrow, my buddy's son is going to come take my baby away.
Whoa, you sold it?
I sold my Jeep Wrangler, my 2001 Jeep Wrangler that I bought in New York City. And I just want to ask you, have you ever had a vehicle that you felt like emotionally attached to?
No.
I'll put it to you this way. If I had acres, like if I had 3 or 4 acres, I would definitely put this puppy in neutral and roll it into the barn, put a blanket over it, and never, ever let it go.
Wow.
Great tune, Lou. I appreciate it.
That good of a car, huh? I mean, there's a lot of sweat. I was in that car. Your dog was in that car when we did the alternate side.
Yeah, man. I've always said, until Sadie was born, the only things I ever loved in my life, my wife, my dog, and my Jeep, dude. Well, I mean, yeah, a lot of other shit, but that's what I'd say. So I was going to do this last show in the car. I was trying to run the cord all the way out there, but then I couldn't get power, and it was becoming a whole thing, and I thought nobody would give a shit but me, and I'd be uncomfortable, so...
Yeah, why bother, man?
Yeah.
The car. Forget it.
Man. So I know you're on vacation, but can we get a little hop in your step here for the show, guy? Get a little something?
Is this what you were talking to me? I thought you were talking to me.
No, Lou, you're fantastic. What are you kidding me? By the way, Roger Moore died too. I don't know if anyone cares about that one. I mean, he was 89. He had a good run, but he was my favorite Bond ever.
Yeah, he was good.
Yes, sir.
The lady will have a Bacardi on the rocks.
For the gentleman, vodka martini, shaken, not stirred.
Touché.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I feel like I'm doing a show with Jimmy from Boston. I'm getting critiqued on my energy now.
Lou, did you feel it was a little low?
Well, I blame myself because I started it off like I kind of directed this whole show on a death note. So I kind of brought us down from the beginning. Plus, Jimmy criticizing us, that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah, I know. Jimmy criticizes. We're playing Michael Jackson, which I don't love. Then on top of that, we're playing a guy who we all loved and passed away. And then I'm in the guy I knew passed away. And then, you know, the Hunter and Gathering, that was rock bottom. That was rock bottom.
I know it wasn't.
I'm trying to get him going.
This is how he tries to get the best out of you, by putting you down. See, Sebastian?
I'm telling it. I thought Hunter and Gather would have turned the show around.
I liked it too, but it's not showy, apparently. We're not enough of a show anymore. I do miss sleeping with Sebastian, but you know how I get, man. Every time the show starts to get into a lull, I start thinking we need a chick co-host, so... Let's prep it up again, Lou. You don't want that call, right, guys?
We should mention that we met Chris Cornell, no?
When did we meet Chris Cornell?
About 10 years ago on the Jim
Brewer
show.
Oh, when he came on the show.
Yeah.
That's right, man. That's right.
Well, what the hell happened there?
He came in, he hung out for like a good half hour, and he told us his life story. He was tall and handsome. He was great.
Yeah, it was really hard to hear his life story because the guy was like... That he was a real 10.
Yeah, he was more tan and more handsome than you, Pete.
Yeah, I think he had like a tooth from an animal around his neck, if I remember. Something really cool. Yeah, and he kept running his fingers through his hair, and I'm like, yeah, keep rubbing it in, Chris. I love the finger rub through. If I do it, though, I have a handful of wax and shit. Fucking right, man.
Did he have the short hair back then when he came in?
He actually did, right, Lou?
Not super short, mid-length. Yeah. Mid-length.
But he was serious, though.
Well, yeah, right? He's from Seattle. He's a serious musician. But, you're not going to remember this. You guys talked about Michael Jackson.
We did?
Yes. You and Chris Cornell were making fun of Michael Jackson. Shall I play the clip?
Play that.
Chris Cornell's new album is called Carry On. You've really turned us on to the lyrics of Michael J.
And then Thriller happened, and there was a disaster happened. And I'll tell you what that disaster is. He makes a video, and he speaks in it.
Right.
Michael Jackson speaks in the video. And for me, I'm like 18 years old.
You're right.
When I heard him talk,
you're right.
I didn't believe anything he had to say anymore. I didn't think he was. I didn't like him anymore. I thought this guy's not cool.
You're right.
Because he's talking to the girl and
Aiden he's got that
voice, and I'm like, yes. Yeah, I don't think this guy is edgy. Beat It was cool, but he's not edgy.
He wasn't even into the chick in the video. He was more concerned with his popcorn. I'm like, you got a hot chick right next to you, and you're not even talking to her.
Yeah, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Well, there you go.
Okay, listen. First of all, the Thriller video, when Michael Jackson was eating popcorn in that movie theater, and I think he might have actually brought it outside too to go and chase her. Yeah. I don't know where the popcorn, where he lost it, but when he was eating the popcorn,
yeah,
I tried to eat popcorn like that the rest of my life. It was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen, the way he was throwing one. I think he was just doing it by the piece, which I've never seen before. But he was smiling, too. I've never seen a guy smile and eat popcorn like that.
His fingers were going down into the bag like, you know, when you play that game where you press the button and the claw comes down and tries to pick up the stuffed animal?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was coming up with one piece at a time. And he was eating it slow because he was... Bro, it was a deflection. If I keep eating popcorn, this chick can't lean over and try to make out with me. That's why he was eating the popcorn. It's his way of telling you, wink, wink, bro. I got a hot chick next to me, and I'm stuffing.
Look out!
Can we get out of here? No, I'm enjoying this. Well, I can't watch.
Well, that's how cool he was. He's like, I don't even have to do anything. I could keep eating my popcorn. I'm still going to get the girl.
Man, I just don't see cool.
I can't believe you didn't. I can't believe you didn't even bring this up beginning of the show that you interviewed the guy and you don't even remember.
I know, and I don't remember that great line I had about popcorn. Shit, Lou, thanks for finding that.
Well, I mean, that's the first time on the show we've actually had Lou dig up a file from 10 years ago.
Lou, wow. Did I talk to Prince?
Yeah, you said he fucking sucks and you prefer George Michael.
I remember one time, Sebastian, Chris Robinson, the lead singer of the Black Crowes, was in an elevator at Sirius, and me and Lou hopped in the elevator with him with all the intentions of talking it up with him. And he was just emanating such a level of cool that my lips couldn't even move.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got off, and we were like, big fan! Like, just behind his head, I said it to the back of his head, big fan! And then me and Lou were like, whoa, I have never been around that level of cool before, just emanating.
Yeah, it's... When you see cool, it just strikes you dead in your tracks. And,
yeah, and I tell you, man, my tracks would not be stroking dead if I saw Michael Jackson in that red suit eating popcorn, man.
Yeah, that would be outstanding.
It's for another day, though. Lou, thanks for drumming that up, though, man.
Sure, buddy.
Ooh, nice, nice. I feel like that really solidified the show as being professional, that Lou just caught something in midstream.
Yeah. Well, me and Lou did a lot of those shows alone. Brew would go on the road. And I remember one of my favorites was one time we had on, oh, man. What's his name, Lou? From Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Oh, Bret Michaels.
Yeah, Bret Michaels. And I asked him to sing Every Rose, and he was like, I'll play it on guitar and you sing it. And he sang a little with me, but he played guitar and I sang, Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Do you remember what else he did that day, Bret Michaels?
He made out with Montana.
Yeah, he made out with our intern.
Yeah, because, you know, he was doing that show where you try and win a date with him. And I go, bro, and I go, you're always making out with these chicks, man. They love it. So will you make out with Montana? She worked on our show and she agreed to it ahead of time. So we can find out if it's like really all that we hear. So he sang with me, and then I go, can you make out Montana? And he goes, done and done. And he turns around, and he goes to make out with her. And we all laughed. And then afterwards, she goes, he was really trying to jam his tongue down my throat. I put my teeth there to deflect him. But, like, rock stars, they'll make out with anybody, bro.
Yes, Pete, you had to stop him. And I'll play the clip right now in post-production. But you had to stop him because that's how rock stars kiss. He doesn't know how to be a gentleman. He just kept going for it, and his tongue was out before he even got next to her.
Yeah, that's rock and roll. I mean, come on. It's just, Sebastian was just hanging out with Lady Gaga. That's rock and roll. These people, these singers, they're our Greek gods.
Wait, is that a rock star move where they just go in tongue first?
An 80s rock star move, yeah. Yeah, he's got no class.
Here's a flashback to the days of Brewer Unleashed.
I got a guitar in the other room, man. Can I sing Every Rose Has Its Thorn, the first two sets of lyrics with your white
boy? I would love it.
Fucking yeah! Holy shit! Fucking shit!
Let's do it.
Curry Montana gets the kid, Kiss Brett. I get to sing every rose.
It's a good day.
This is a fucking great day.
Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song.
Sing it to me.
Every rose has its thorn.
Here comes the grand finale. Are you ready? Pyro, please.
Holy shit! Brett, dude, we've been doing the show like 3 years. You're about the coolest dude I ever got to hang out with.
Right back at
you. Oh, man. Right all the best, you, man.
Thank you.
Just make out
much.
With Montana on the way out.
Done,
Square.
Montana. Done and done.
Oh, you are the
wait,
man.
Let me freshen my breath up a little. I'm eating Chipotle.
All right.
I don't want her to say he's a great kisser.
Just lips. Just lips, man. We can't be doing tongue. We can get...
No, we'll lips.
Authorities will come in here. Brett Michaels, the new Hugh Hefner. Here we go. Montana and Brett Michaels. Where is the camera? There they are. Oh, my God. Oh, beautiful. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Holy sh...
I want action tonight.
Got crazy, Brew. It got crazy.
What were you going? All right, all right, all right. What was happening? What was happening?
Length, man. It was supposed to be, you know, an out.
Montana, what? Like, how'd that feel? That's weird. He's like a rock star. He's a TV star. You never really.
It was the weirdest, most awkward, embarrassing 30 seconds of my life. It was really awkward.
Did he really, like, did you feel his tongue?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he was definitely trying to slip me the tongue.
And you didn't open up at all?
No, I was trying to pull back a little bit towards the end, too, and he didn't really release until Pete was like, all right, all right.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, it was getting into lawsuit territory.
I have some questions here from our listeners. We have Michael from Austin wants to know who we think is the best comedian working today.
Oh. Do you mind if I go first?
No, go ahead.
All right, Mike. Well, listen, I would have to say I've been at it for a long time now, on the road a lot, and, you know, coming from the East Coast, and Sebastian's coming from the West Coast, he's seen a lot. I'm going to have to say, in my opinion, it's a tie between us. Louis C.K. is doing some nice work. Chappelle, he is back at it. But overall, I'd have to say me and Sebastian. Thanks for the write-in, Mike.
For tour dates and information, go to PeteCorielli.com and SebastianLive.com.
I don't know if we even mentioned this, but maybe we did. There's a third Watt in the NFL. Did we even say this? I forgot.
We didn't mention it.
Give it up for T.J. Watt becoming part of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's three sons now in the NFL. How? It's like a breeding ground over there for football talent.
It's unbelievable. Most families couldn't get three kids working at Geico. I mean, this is unbelievable, man.
It is outstanding.
And last week, did you see the Watt reading a letter to his mom?
No, I didn't see that. I know we exchanged some texts on that. What was that all about? Luke, can we pull that up? Watt reading a Mother's Day note?
Yeah, a little Mother's Day note to his mom who was in the other room. It was touching. But, you know, I consider Watt a part of our podcast, Sirius Satellite Radio family.
Yeah.
So I'll give him a free pen. It's a little bouncy. It's a little bouncy.
Is it bouncy?
A little bouncy. What? Who said that? Lou, what are you doing? You're taking an old clip of me saying that?
I'm not editing that out.
Touching with a slight bounce.
Lou, do we have it?
Here we go.
Pull out your hankies.
His mother is in the next room. She doesn't know about the letter. He's about to read it to her.
Dear Ma, in your house, there's a photo at the top of the stairs of you holding me when I was just a toddler. I've walked past it thousands of times, often not paying much mind to it, having seen it every single day. The last time I was home, I walked up those stairs, saw that same picture I'd seen so many times before. This time, I stopped by and I really looked at it. The first thing I noticed is that you haven't aged a single day since that picture. You're still as beautiful and as energetic as that woman in the photo holding that little boy with the bleach blonde mullet.
Weeping.
The next thought that came into my mind was the fact that you were only 21 years old in that photo.
Oh, that's right.
You were 21 years old, working and raising a family every single day. And here I am, 28 years old, still trying to figure the world out. Now, I know you probably say that you didn't have the whole world figured out and you were learning as you went. But from my perspective, throughout my entire life, you've always had the whole world figured out. You and Dad taught Derek, TJ, and I that we could accomplish anything that we wanted to in this world, and you wholeheartedly believed in us.
Not really, guy.
Nobody else did.
She didn't really think you were all going to end up in the NFL. I'm sorry. Nobody else did.
You never lied to us. You never made us think it would be easy. And you never let us make excuses. Your story and your rise, all while raising a family and being an incredible mother at home, will forever be an inspiration for me. I will never be able to properly put into words how much I love you and how appreciative I am for everything you've done for our family. All I can say is thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for being the best mom that anybody could ever ask for. While I may no longer have the mullet, I will always be your little boy. I love you, Mom.
And now she comes in from the other room, and he didn't know she was listening the whole time. And now they hug.
I'm sorry. Somebody wrote that. I'm sorry.
No.
Fred Easton Ellis, Adam Ball. Professional writer wrote that. I'm sorry. Listen, I know Watt's a smart guy. I've been in a room with him. He's, you know, listen, he's probably more intelligent than me. I'm like, no problem with that. But that was, professional. It was a Hemingway shit right there.
That was a for hire?
Yeah. That was ghostwritten by Hemingway's nephew or something. Are you kidding me?
No way.
No.
Did you add the music, or was that playing in the background of his home? What, no. I'm still trying to figure out what this was.
Sorry, it was a produced piece on ESPN television.
Okay.
So it said, the words on the screen said, JJ's mom is in the next room, and they put the music there, and then they keep cutting from him reading to her in the other room kind of crying, and then she surprises him at the end, and they get a big hug.
Well, how does he not know the mother's in the other room? Was he just happen to be reading this letter out loud while crew was there?
No, they were at his house, right? I think they're at his house, and I think the idea was, you know, we're gonna play this for your mom, or we're gonna read these on the air for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Gotcha. After hearing that, I gotta go and get the card back that I gave my mother for Mother's Day and rewrite it. I mean, that was beautiful.
Can you read it on this show?
But listen. I want to see Watt's card to his mother 21 years from now. All right. I was writing those to my mom at 28. I remember my Mother's Day card to my mom at 28. It was like, nobody had a better childhood than me. Everything, you know, and now it's like, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Hope you and Dad are having a good day.
Yeah. I'm at the pool with my tan.
Yeah, man. The pen is sliding out of my sweaty hand. I'm having such a good time here. So, you know, don't worry. We got 21 cards on him. But I love the way, too, Mr. how he's always so humble. I can't properly put in words. Oh, okay. After you just Mark Twain the whole letter, and now you add that. You just did. You just put it in words.
Wow. So, there you have it. What a beautiful soliloquy. I don't got much. I'm just going to plug that I'm off for 7 weeks. The next time I do anything is going to be in June 23rd in Lincoln, California, Thunder Valley Casino. And then for my birthday weekend, the 6th, 7th, and 8th of July, 6 shows at Atlantic City Event Center. So I'm going to have my boys out there coming from Chicago. So that should be a good time. Pete, what do you got on the slate?
Nice. I'm going out to with Regan, working with Brian Regan on June 6th.
7th, 8th, and 9th, I believe it is. 7th, 8th, and 9th, Kansas City and Texas. And then I'm back writing for the Kevin James show, man. I'm actually looking forward to that, bro. I think I'm going for an Emmy this year.
Why don't you?
I liked our show. I like hanging with you guys. Good hanging. And that's it, man.
Sounds good. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening. The Pete and Sebastian Show. Going to get a tan.
The show has ended.
Wait, those days are over.